welcome to the Dr. April Brown show called Bringing Intimacy Back. Today we're talking about is temperaments. Temperaments is basically your predisposition and intimacy and how those two are related. Well, guess what? I have an expert that is an expert on the subject matter. Yes. And this is Dr. Jason Prendergast.
Hello.
He's the founder of Edify Creative Counseling.
That's correct.
Yes, yes. Yes. So Dr. Jason, yes. Can you share with the audience your journey in becoming, I know besides counseling, you're an ordained minister and a variety of different stuff.
I've tapped into a few different avenues. And as I mentioned before, counseling was not so much my idea. It was something that I didn't really care for, and now I'm extremely passionate for. I do have an MBA in business, and I decided to pursue my PhD in pastoral psychology, which led me to the study of inborn temperaments and some amazing work right now. Some amazing things are happening in the world of temperaments, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yes, and so I know I just made a brief definition, but from an expert, what does the word temperaments actually mean?
Well, to truly understand temperaments, you have to first come to the conclusion that we are three parts being, you and I and everybody here. We are body, we are spirit, and we are soul. Our temperaments lie within our soul, and actually are the inborn part of us that determines how we react to people, places, and things. It is essentially how we process things, how we have processed things, and how we will continue to process things from an emotional standpoint.
Okay, definitely. And so in how we process things, how does that relate to intimacy?
Well, you know, the word intimacy, when I hear that word, one word comes to mind, comfort. I think
comfort,
to be comfortable. I don't think you can be intimate with something you're not comfortable with being around. And one of the most rewarding things that I get from clients who I identify their temperaments through my temperament test is that I allow them to be comfortable with themselves. One of the bonuses of taking this temperament test I offer is to bring a deeper self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And I love it when a client says, you know what, you made me feel comfortable in my own skin. I believe that is the start of intimacy, as the segment before. We talked about, you know, in order for you to be intimate with others, you have to be intimate with yourself first. And that is the premise of temperament therapy and temperament and studying the knowledge of inborn temperaments.
Right. And so you mentioned the temperament therapy. Mm-hmm. So temperament therapy, is it just for individuals or is it for couples? What is temperament?
It is for every living human being on this planet.
Okay.
It is for children. It is for couples looking to get married. It's couples that have been married. It's for young couples maybe thinking about getting married. It's for... Your child, you can't communicate with your kid. He's throwing temper tantrums. You want to get a better understanding. The reason why I think my counseling is so important right now is because right now we're living in such a emotionally turbulent time right now. I can't recall society being so emotionally unstable as it is at this point right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the emotions, the anger, the fear, the anxiety is just running rampant right now. And so if you know of anybody that's constantly angry, that's constantly fearful, knowledge of their inborn temperaments will allow them to see what areas in life are causing these emotions in their life.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying, the test and the therapy helps you, gives you more awareness.
Yes.
Yes, because it'll provide information on what you fear, control.
Yes.
A variety of different stuff that deals with your disposition.
Absolutely. And one thing, as I mentioned before, this remains with us. We're given these temperaments when we're created, when we're born, came into this world. And although they may be altered or affected through different situations, they remain with us and really can get a good idea how someone processes things, once again, from an emotional position.
Right, right. So it's really important to understand the temperament types.
Absolutely. I personally, with what's going on in schools right now, I would love to see this as part of the intake of the children, just to see what's going on. Certain children respond to different stimuli. Certain temperaments are more prone to violence. Certain temperaments are more prone to stealing, lying. Even certain temperaments are more prone to commit suicide. So it is important to have that information, have that knowledge, just to kind of see what's going on inside somebody.
Okay, and so when you provide this type of therapy and people understand their temperaments, and like you said, some are more prone to do a variety of different things.
Yes.
Do you also provide resources on how to help that temperament?
Yes. Once you identify the temperaments, we use a tool called temperament therapy. And it's basically the mechanism to find balance between the body, soul, and spirit.
Okay.
If the spirit and soul are to remain in balance, the three temperament areas of inclusion, which is our need for socialization, also our need for control and power, as well as our need for love and affection, must be met, or we're not going to be in complete balance.
Right, definitely. And so let's talk about what are some of these temperament types.
Well, you have the melancholy, which seems to be a lot of us out there.
Okay.
I mean, not us, I'm not melancholy, but it seems to be a lot of them out there. Melancholies are known by their extreme introversion and their high intellectual energies. Then you have the sanguine, which is the opposite of the melancholy. They are extremely extroverted, known by their love of bright colors, flashy things. They always tend to be the loudest in the room. They never met somebody that's not a friend. You have the choleric temperament, which happens to be the most controlling temperament. Great decision makers, great leaders. You also have the phlegmatic. I love the phlegmatics because they're the either or people in society. They're the peacemakers. They really don't care half the time. They're known for their slow pace movement and their low energy. And finally, you have the supine. The supine is unique because I believe it's the most spiritual out of all of the temperaments. A supine normally has a gentle spirit. They're very serving, and they tend to do a lot for others without much in return.
Yeah, definitely. Savas, so as you're listing all these temperaments, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking like in an organization or mm-hmm. even in a relationship, how that mm-hmm. would work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you have positives. There's some strengths in each one of those.
Absolutely. If you mind me giving an example?
Yes, go ahead. Give an example.
They say opposites attract, and that's very true.
Yes.
And a lot of times you will find a melancholy marrying a sanguine, the introverted might marry the extroverted because they initially attract. But once they get married and life settles in, they have a lot of problems, they have a lot of issues. There's not a communication. So temperament therapy would allow them to see how each other will process things and hopefully bring some resolution or, you know, a way to fix the problems or, you know, help out the situation.
Okay, definitely, yes. So we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about these temperament types.
Yes.
And like he says, how they mismatch.
Yes.
And also the background of them. Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Back to the Bring in Intimacy show, and today we've been talking about temperaments and intimacy, and I'm here with Dr. Jason, who has a wonderful practice in South Florida, and he just went over the type of temperaments and then how mm-hmm. sometimes these opposites attract.
Yes,
and so I also know that you are a pastoral counselor.
Yes.
Are there any, I'm just curious, any biblical evidence of this?
Actually, there is. In Psalm 139, it mentions that he created our inward parts. He knit us together in our mother's womb. It further goes on to mention that his eyes saw our unformed body while we were woven together in the depths of the earth. And also goes on to mention that, it is a direct connection to temperaments, and it's basically the instilling of inborn knowledge of certain ways that we're going to view things and process things from an emotional standpoint. It's kind of part of our DNA in a sense. And as everyone has different fingerprints and a different DNA, we have different temperaments, and they really impact how we view life on a daily basis. Our temperaments are almost always involved in our process and the way we look at things. So it's very important that you understand them. And once you identify your temperaments, it can really guide you as far as a better life overall.
Yes, and so I'm assuming, and from what you're saying, mm-hmm. temperaments are inborn. It's not something that changes over time.
Well, temperaments don't change. They don't disappear.
Okay.
They are inborn. Now there are some things that can affect your temperaments over a period of time, and one of them is learned behavior. Learned behavior is what you've learned, what you've picked up from your upbringing, the environment, your surroundings.
Right.
They impact your temperament, giving you the ability to go above and beyond, which is the capacity to go above and beyond your temperament, but they still remain. And one of the visuals I like to give as far as temperaments to really instill this in a client is, if I took some apple seeds and I planted these apple seeds in the ground, they're going to be affected by the environment, by the conditions, sunlight, whatever. Nothing's going to take away from the fact that these apple seeds would become an apple tree.
Okay.
And that's the way our temperaments are. We come into this world, we're affected by who raised us, who's mm-hmm. around us, our environment, our conditions, but our temperaments remain. Right. That's pretty much how they work.
Okay, good, good. So when someone enters therapy and they take their temperament test, how does it work from there, especially when they're a couple or...
It's a process. The first part of it is to truly let them understand how they work,
okay,
how they're pre-wired, predisposition, as
yes,
you mentioned before. And once you come to terms with how you do things, it's easier for you to then connect to somebody else. And what we do with couples is that I like to sit with a couple individually, and then I put them together, and I show them how they're temperaments work in favor or against each other,
mm-hmm,
and I give them a map. Not only does the temperament test indicate inborn temperaments, but also give suggestions. These are needs. We're talking about emotional needs,
right,
and you can find the needs, but then you have to meet them.
Yes.
And that's where the temperament therapy comes into play. We offer recommendations and suggestions how to meet these temperament needs.
Okay, good. Yes, I actually took a temperament test.
You did? What did you think about it?
Yes, and I thought it was wonderful.
Wow.
Yes, because someone...
So wonderful, you...
Yes, it's so wonderful that I actually had my partner take one too.
Yes, you did, yes.
Yes, and one of the things that I noticed is certain parts on the temperament test that I know that maybe are my weaknesses, are
right,
things that I'm...
Yeah.
I strive to struggle with, and that I'm working toward making better. Yes,
that's one of the beauties of the results. It gives you so much information. It's going to give you career choices. It's going to let you know if you're task oriented or relationship oriented. Knowing that is a big factor in the type of career you pursue. It's going to let you know how you respond. Do you respond to the threat of punishment or the promise of reward? What
right,
motivates you? I will be able to officially tell you that, which can be utilized effectively in the future to just make life more enjoyable,
mm-hmm,
pleasurable.
Yeah, and it definitely, for me, it was an eye-opener how I react to different people and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Well,
I'm glad you liked it because I was a little nervous.
Okay.
Because you're a professional and, so I definitely enjoyed that.
Yes, definitely. And so have you taken it yourself also?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't think I would be here right now if I haven't. One thing that my report highlighted, and I'm open about this, it revealed that I have the phlegmatic temperament. Whenever you have the phlegmatic temperament, you have a issue with energy.
Okay.
I would get out the gate in the morning, but by midday, I'm just like, I'm just depleted. I have no energy whatsoever. And it actually forced me to not engage in certain activities or kind of stand back or not take opportunities because of that energy. I try
right,
to conserve it. I didn't want to deal with people because people drain you. People
right,
don't know that. People drain you emotionally.
Yes.
So you got to be careful who you hang with. And but it didn't allow for opportunities. And once I learned about my low energy, I started to implement a better workout program and juice and to run every morning, which increased my physical energy, which increased my emotional energy. So I would have never figured that out. I thought something was wrong with me. It wasn't. It's just that I have low energy, and it really was impactful. In fact, like I said, I would not be here right now if it wasn't for that.
Right. So that's really critical in the sense of helping couples and
absolutely,
for families.
Absolutely.
If you get to know what your temperament is and
it helps.
About the learned behavior and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So thanks for sharing with that.
No problem. Thank you.
Yes. So on the show here, we've been talking about temperament types, and we're going to go and take a short break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some tools to help people out there who are listening in understanding temperament and intimacy.
Right.
Welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. And today we've been talking about temperaments and intimacy with Dr. Jason.
Yes.
And he was explaining how he took it himself and how he found out that energy was really one of the things that helped him and that kind of stuff. Yes. And so as you're talking with people or if you talk with clients and stuff, what are some tools to help them in figuring out their temperament and how to use their temperament?
Well, the most effective tool is to call me. Give me a call and then let's talk. Let's find out what's bothering you. Right now,
what's your website so people can...
It's www.edifycounseling.com. Edify is spelled E-D-I-F-Y, counseling.com. Drop me a message, leave me some information, and I'll be more than eager to get back to you. Some effective tool right now is just to take an assessment. I really, one thing that really helped me is that I basically wrote down the four major emotional responses, which is anger, fear, anxiety, and satisfaction. And what I did a personal inventory of my life to what things caused anger, what caused anxiety, what caused fear,
right,
and what satisfied me. And ultimately, you want to eventually have more satisfaction than anything else. But right now, nine out of 10 of us probably have more anxiety, fear, and anger than satisfaction in life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal is to help you increase that overall satisfaction. And this wonderful lady next to me has experienced it. And
yes,
it is informational. I consider it to be life-changing. I think I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, one of the things that it revealed, because I'm more of an introvert.
Yes, you are introverted. Yes.
That I do have to take time for myself.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
you know what?
Yes.
That
and
is such an important tool.
Yes, for me to fuel back up.
Yes.
Yes, and that was a practice that I'd started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how important it is. If you have a temperament that requires a long time, you need to take it.
Right.
You need to take it. You need to tell your husband. You need to tell your kids. You need to tell everybody, leave me alone. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. It needs to be something that's scheduled. It's just not, it can be random, but it needs to be a coordinated effort in everybody in the household that this person needs to be left alone because it's to their benefit overall.
Right. Yeah. And on the test, it also talks about love. You have a section on love.
Yes. Love and affection.
Yes. How you express it.
Yes. Some temperaments don't like hugging. They don't like touching. If you touch them too much, you feel like you're invading their personal space. Other people are overly anxious to touch you. And it's ironic, but once again, the melancholy and the sanguine is the opposite. They tend to get together. The sanguine is kind of more of a touchy-feely person. The melancholy is more of a standoff. And a lot of times, the sanguine, the husband, is thinking, there's something wrong with me. She's not affectionate, but that's her temperament.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you. It's how she is, how she was created.
Yeah, and so in that scenario, how do you help the husband or the couple overall?
Well, it's amazing how a wife could tell a husband something over and over again, but until a professional shows you on a piece of paper, it's not believable, you know.
Yeah.
But it definitely helps. It really allows you to now understand people. And one thing about the temperament test that I think the most beneficial thing, I stopped being so judgmental. I stopped judging people because I realized everybody has their purpose. Everybody's created with a purpose, and thank God we're not the same. Thank God there's differences. So that's one of the things. I don't judge people. I mean, sometimes you do it naturally.
Yes.
But that's something I really have changed quite a bit. I understand that everybody is unique and everybody is special in their own way.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because when you do it and you have your partner do it, you realize, oh my gosh, okay, this is why I did it like this.
Sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yes,
you know. I think in myself, a lot of people take this, anything's going to read like a horoscope. Oh, you're a wonderful guy, you're going to do this, and
it doesn't mean
it's,
that
way. Yeah, sometimes it's like holding up a mirror and you're seeing your reflection for the first time. And that's the way I kind of attributed to holding up that mirror and seeing yourself for the first time. Not what people tell you, what people try to make you believe, but who you really are inside. And we're talking about your soul. You can't get no deeper than your soul. And that's where the temperaments lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do, and going back on the spiritual aspect, it also shows how you kind of relate to God.
Yes.
Which is critical.
It is. It really is
critical. Your higher power.
Yes, because ultimately you want to point back to that direction. A lot of us are given so many gifts. These temperaments are gifts. You may be doing something right now that you think something's wrong with you, but you don't realize you've been blessed. If that's the case, reach out to us. Give us a call. We can definitely assist you in that area and help you realize that these gifts are blessings and not curses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that connection with your higher power is everything.
Oh, my God.
Because it goes back to that intimate connection, which is one of the reasons why I had you on the show to talk about temperament and intimacy.
I couldn't say no.
And it's been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you
so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's been
And it's been a pleasure. This has been the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.